E-tidings, Cosmos. Good morning, 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Thomila Mila Falcher wrote and Sha. I am your host, Richard McSweeney. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. And the sage in the digital age speaks of the philosopher of old, saying, of an afternoon, he happened to notice a boy of some 8 to 10 years of age measuring a trickling stream of water that was meandering through a pasture land. With his left hand and with the distance from his little finger to his thumb, he was happily crawling it along on the surface of the water, like a caterpillar on a leaf, and then drawing it up before proceeding any farther. And every few feet along the bank he would stop his measuring, rise to his feet, and with his right hand he would write his findings and make calculations in the air above him. And when he asked him why he was measuring the flowing stream and making calculations, he answered that he was practicing how to measure and record findings. For when he grew up, he planned to be a measurer and a recorderer of seashore waves. One animal enjoys eating leaves, another roots. Were you to prepare a banquet of leaves for the root eating, he would, with a sniff no doubt from it, walk away. And in the same misplaced wisdom way, were you to prepare a banquet of roots for the leaf eating. In today's broadcast, I'll be reading from Prince Hamlet, The Republic, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading in continuity from Prince Hamlet. The doors are broke. Where is this king? Sir, stand you all without. No, let's come in. I pray you, give me leave. We will, we will. I thank you, keep the door. O thou vile king, give me my father. Calmly, goodly Artes. That drop of blood that's calm proclaims me bastard, cries cuckold to my father, brands the harlot even here, between the chaste unsmirched brow of my true mother. What is the cause, Leotis, that thy rebellion looks so giant-like? Let him go, Gertrude. Do not fear our person. There's such divinity that hedge a king, that treason can but peep to what it would, acts little of his will. Tell me, Leotis, why thou art thus incensed? Let him go, Gertrude. Speak, man. Where is my father? Dead. But not by him. Let him demand his fill. How came he dead? I'll not be juggled with. To hell allegiance vows to the blackest devil, conscience and grace to the profoundest pit. I dare damnation. To this point I stand, that both the worlds I give to negligence, let come what comes, only I'll be revenged most thoroughly for my father. Who shall stay you? My will, not all the world, and for my means I'll husband them so well, they shall go far with little. Good Leotes, if you desire to know the certainty of your dear father's death, it's written your revenge. That swoopstake you will draw about friend and foe, winner and loser? None but his enemies. Will you know them then? To his good friends thus wide I'll open my arms, and like the kind life-rendering pelican, repass them with my blood. Why, now you speak like a good child and a true gentleman, that I am guiltless of your father's death, and am most sensible in grief for it. It shall as level to your judgment pierce as day does to your eye. A reading from Plato's The Republic. And what of the unjust? Does he claim to have more than the just man and to do more than is just? Of course, he said, for he claims to have more than all men. And the unjust man will strive and struggle to obtain more than the unjust man or action, in order that he may have more than all? True. We may put the matter thus, I said. The just does not desire more than he is like, but more than he is unlike, whereas the unjust desires more than both he is like and he is unlike. Nothing, he said, can be better than this that statement. And the unjust is good and wise, and the just is neither? Good again, he said. And is not the unjust like the wise and good, and just unlike them? Of course, he said, and he who is of a certain nature is like those who are of a certain nature. He who is not, not. Each of them, I said, is such as his like is? Certainly, he replied. Very good, Trashimachus, I said, and now to take the case of the arts. You would admit that one man is a musician and another not a musician. Yes. And which is wise and which is foolish? Clearly the musician is wise, and he who is not a musician is foolish. And he is good in so far as he is wise, and bad in as far as he is foolish? Yes. And you would say the same sort of thing of the physician? Yes. And do you think, my excellent friend, that a musician, when he adjusts the lyre, would desire or claim to exceed or go beyond a musician into tightening and loosening the strings? I do not think that he would. But he would claim to exceed the non-musician. Of course. And what would you say of the physician? In prescribing meats and drinks, would he wish to go beyond another physician or beyond the practice of medicine? He would not. But he would wish to go beyond the non-physician? Yes. This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. North Star visitor spoke to me, saying, "Humaculate of error, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn?" There was once a sage impersonator who lived at the edge of a forest. He claimed he knew all about into existence coming, all about living, and all about from existence leaving. He would even go as far as saying that he knew the very year, month, day, and right down to the hour that someone would pass away. He claimed to be with a complete understanding of the true meaning of happiness. The inhabitants of the surrounding villages to his abode would hide themselves if they saw him coming along, fearing that he would tell them their end was nigh. And they gave him the name, the Sage of All Claims, which when he, with learning of it, told them it was a most appropriate name for him, for he said he did indeed know all things. Now, a certain fearless young philosopher and his teacher, with being in the vicinity and hearing of him, and with wishing to ascertain for himself what kind of person he was, received permission from his teacher to go see him. When he went and when he met him, he was fascinated by him, and with returning to his teacher, he told her of his meeting, saying, "I considered your insights, teacher, into life to be highly impressive, but if I may humbly say, I have now found one who is far superior to you, and I should like to go follow him." "Where would you be going? For I have merely taught you the periphery of my thoughts, and have not yet taught you their deeper meanings. Invite this so-called sage of yours to come see me, and I will try to discover what he is made of." A few days later, the young philosopher came with the Sage of All Claims to meet his teacher. In less than 20 minutes, he emerged and said to the young philosopher, "Alas, alas! Alas, your teacher is about to leave life. She will not live beyond 3 sunsets. I saw it in her eyes." When he heard this, he rushed in and was all in tears, so much so that the front of his jacket was drenched. And he told his teacher what the Sage of All Claims had said. And his teacher said, I, for the sake of seeing what he is made of, showed myself to him as it were with the forms of roots deep hidden in the soil. Invite him to come again in a few days. A few days later, the young philosopher again came with the sage of all claims to meet his teacher. In less than 15 minutes, he emerged and said to him, It is most fortunate, truly, for your teacher that she met me. She will get better, it is certain, for all the signs of living are clearly to be seen in her countenance. When he heard this, he went in and told it to his teacher, who said, This time I showed myself to him to be of a sky-blue day. Invite him to come back again in a few days. A few days later, the young philosopher again came with the sage of all claims to meet his teacher. In less than 10 minutes, he emerged and said to him, Your teacher is never the same. It is becoming increasingly difficult for me to read her physiognomy. When he heard this, he went in and told it to his teacher, who said, This time I showed myself to him to be of the starry heavens of night. Having come around one more time. 2 days later, the young philosopher again brought the sage of all claims around to see his teacher. In less than 5 minutes, he emerged and was half tripping over himself, and without saying a word to the young philosopher, ran off over the way with his hands frantically waving and talking pure gibberish to himself. When he saw this, he rushed in and told his teacher and asked what she had said to have caused him to be leaving in such a manner, in such a state. This time I showed myself to him not to be of this planet, and he ran out the door. Should I go run after him, teacher, and try to bring him back? Let him be, for he will be fine in a year or two. No more, though, will he be claiming to be something he is not. No more will he be fooling the people. At this, the young philosopher came to the sudden self-realization that he was nothing more than a novice when it came to growing in understanding of the teachings and way of his teacher. And from that day forth, his knowledge began to noticeably broaden and deepen. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when with living in your own realm and time, you will make yourself to be blessed, and a blessing be, exceedingly glad with the joy of your presence, the world will be. Remember, whenever and wherever, to bravely speak out on issues when you know quite well you ought to. Refuse to let yourself silence you. The upcoming repeal here on the island of Ireland of the 8th Amendment of the Constitution Act 1983, which acknowledges the right to life of the unborn with due regard to the equal right to life of the mother, is such an issue in need of your courageous response. Say no on referendum day, Friday 25th of May, to the making of a law that would fast-track us as individuals and as a people to inhumanity. The beloved lives in the wombs of tomorrows will to us in their own way be eternally grateful and ever so proud of us. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind bringing radio to the internet via Radio Richard Ireland, on the air globally for about 15 minutes, Monday to Friday, and occasionally on the weekends. The script format of today's broadcast will be available at a future date on AuthenticCloseterDramaScripts.com. It is truly an honor to have your listening. May you be a blessing unto yourself by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Sloan, August Benacht Lett.